Let's start learning. I think we should start talking about, in the context of our entire discussion, but we should start talking about the Beis HaMikdash and the Malchus of David HaMelech. The Beis HaMikdash and the Kingdom of David HaMelech, the subject of Tefillah, is what we've been talking about. Last week we were focusing a little bit on a more practical, Eitz's more practical advice of how to increase our awareness of this whole subject of Malchus, what it means for us, and we'll return to the practical aspect of Mitzvah Shem later on in a couple of weeks. But we have to do some more work, some more theoretical work, some more work in the Etzem Hadavar and the actual subject. So let's begin tonight before we get to David HaMelech. So I think it's proper that we begin talking about the Beis HaMikdash for 5 minutes, since we're now in the middle of the 9 days. It says in the Medrash, "Bekol siach hasada terem yeh ba'aretz." This is a pasuk that we come back to all the time, where it says in the beginning of the Torah that before any of the grass was able to grow, and it says that the reason that the grass couldn't grow, it says in the Torah, "V'adam ayin," that there was no person yet in the world. That's why the grass couldn't grow. So Rashi explains to us from Chazal, which we've spoken about many times, that the grass was beneath the surface of the earth, but it wasn't able to surface because there was no human being yet to daven for rain. So everything was being kept on hold until there would be a davener, until the human being would come to daven. So that's what it says, "V'kol siach hasada terem yeh ba'aretz." Before any of the grass could actually grow. So the Medrash says, "Kol tefilasu shel brios." The Medrash makes a distinction between the davening of non-Jews and the davening of the Jewish people. The Medrash says, "Kol tefilasu shel brios yiseina ela al haaretz." That all other human beings in the world, all people aside from Jews, when they're praying, when they're davening for the earth. What do they say? Maritz avahara. Maritz titzlachara. That may you help the earth prosper, may things grow. That's nice. People are praying that they believe in God, and people are praying for a good year. However, the tefillos of the Jewish people are all for the Beis HaMikdash, for the temple. Now, what the Medrash is talking about is the word sada. That's the key word over here, field. That there couldn't yet be a field. The field couldn't grow because there was nobody to daven. So there are two ways to understand the word field. One way is simply the earth. The physical earth. And the field, the grass, and everything else can't grow unless there are people to daven. And the Medrash learns that that's referring to the prayers of non-Jews. That derech klal, in general, their prayers, for those who are religious, are focused on physical things. That may God help the world be a better place and so on. So the understanding is literally because siach hasada. In order that the field should be able to grow, there has to be a human being to daven that there should be rain that the field should grow. But the word sada could also have an alternative meaning. Can mean something else. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, the Gemara says that we find that each one of our fathers called the area of the temple, called the Har Habayis, the mountain, that area, by a different term. Avraham Avinu called it a mountain. Yitzchak Avinu called it a sada, a field. And Yaakov Avinu called it a bayis, a house. We know that Yitzchak Avinu called it a field, since it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. And Yitzchak went outside to converse in the field. And we have a tradition of Kabbalah that's referring to the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And here, the Torah says, V'kol siach hasada. Now the word siach, which refers to growth and shrubbery and so on, also is connected to the word sicha. Like it says, V'yetze Yitzchak lesuach basada. It means to converse, to speak to Hashem. A sicha. So it says, so Chazal say that the non-Jews, all of their prayers are concerning physical existence. But when the Jewish people daven, that the Jews are saying all the time, Hashem, Master of the world, when will the Beis HaMikdash be built? When will you build the Beis HaMikdash? Since the word Sadeh can also be referring, can be hinting to the Beis HaMikdash, so there are two ways of understanding this verse that's found at the beginning of the Torah. We call Siach HaSadeh, Term Yeb'aretz, that the Sadeh could not yet grow. Why? Because there was no one to daven. So the non-Jews are davening literally for the fields of the world to grow. This doesn't mean at the beginning of time, it means forever. The non-Jews, their prayers are for the fields of the world, which means all physical existence to prosper. Whereas the Jewish people are davening for the Sadeh, for the Sadeh, with a capital sin. For the Sadeh, which means the Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Har Bayis, the Temple Mount, is called the field. And their prayers are always, Rabbeinu Shalom, Master of the world, when will you build the Beis HaMikdash already? So the meaning then of the pasuk according to this is that because at the beginning of creation the Jewish people did not yet exist, since at this point of time the Jewish people did not yet exist, there was no such thing as Knesset Yisrael, therefore there was no such concept as really of Malchus, of a kingdom, because there were no subjects. Because of that, there was nobody to daven for the Beis HaMikdash, that there should be a Beis HaMikdash. There were no possible tefillos at this point for the Beis HaMikdash. On a deeper level, what this is referring to is exactly what we've been talking about the last few weeks. What this is referring to is that ultimately, tefillah by Klai Yisrael, davening by the Jewish people, is not just a means of achieving some end. It's not a way of getting something. A lot of the frustration that people have when they're davening is that it doesn't seem to work. I davened for this, I davened for that, it didn't happen. This is a subject that requires a great amount of discussion in the future. That altogether is a wrong way of looking at things. But generally a person feels that I'm davening and I didn't, and the davening hasn't worked. See, that's the non-Jewish view of davening. That's what the Medrash is saying here. The non-Jews are davening that the field should grow. And if the fields don't grow, then the davening was unsuccessful. But the Medrash is saying that we don't view tefillah as a means to an end. The Torah doesn't view davening as a way to get something. Although that's also true. It can work for that. Of course. Davening itself is a tachlis. It itself is the end. It itself is the purpose of man's creation, which is to develop an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Medrash is saying. So what are the tefillos of the Jewish people? So the Medrash is saying that even though, of course, we also daven that the field should grow, and a Jewish farmer also wants it to rain, we're also asking for all these things that we need for panasa and so on. We're asking for these things just like everybody else. We also need all of this. But what the Medrash is saying is that the underlying need, the deepest need of the Jewish people, is closest to Hashem. Therefore, when we daven, when we're davening, there's a chair over here. Therefore, when we're davening, so when we go through Shemoneh Esrei, so we say, Refaino Hashem, and Refai Hashem, you heal us and we'll be healed. Hashem, grant us a prosperous year. All these things that we're asking for during Shemoneh Esrei, the ultimate purpose is to draw us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to teach us that every single aspect of our lives, every single thing that we go through, is connected to Hashem. That itself is the purpose. If there's a side benefit, if there's a bonus that we also get things that we need, that's wonderful. Matov v'manoim. But davening itself is the tachlis. To speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the tefillos of the Jewish people in the deepest sense are all regarding the Beis HaMikdash. Since the Beis HaMikdash is the place where we can establish closest to Hashem, The Beis HaMikdash is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory is most profoundly revealed. It says in the Zohar HaKadosh, Malchus Shemayim Iyu Beis HaMikdash, that Malchus Shemayim, the kingdom of Hashem, is the Beis HaMikdash. The kingdom of Hashem on earth is the Beis HaMikdash. Because we learned that Malchus means, you remember we spoke about this already weeks ago, that Malchus means looking at all the tiny details of life from the perspective of Hashem Echad. The job of a king, the role of a king again. The role of a king is to join together all of the pratim, to bring together all of the separate individual people of the kingdom for one common purpose and to create a nation out of those individuals. That's the role, that's the job of a king. And the job of every Jew is to be Mamlech Hashem. To be Mamlech Hashem, to make Hashem king means to find a place for every tiny little detail in creation, to find a place in the Malchus of Hashem, to draw everything back to Avodas Hashem. Eating and sleeping and working and taking care of the children and everything that we think about and do. All the details, all the individual details should be brought under the encompassing kingdom of Malchus Hashem. That's what Malchus means. So the Beis HaMikdash is that place where we recognize that everything returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is connected to Hashem. That's why the Beis HaMikdash has to consist of all different levels of creation, from domeim, inanimate objects, to tzomeach, plants, and the incense, and so on, animals, and the sacrifice, and the human being, the medaber. All levels of creation have to be brought together in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we have the silver, the gold, and all the different materials of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, as you know, is a microcosm of all the universe. And the reason for that is because the ultimate purpose of all creation is that everything in the world and the universe should be brought back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be brought back to one, that should be connected to Hashem. Therefore, even though Jewish people are davening also for things that they need, but Be'emes, the deepest thing that they're davening for is for Malchus Hashem. And that's why I think I've told you in the past, if you haven't heard it from me, I'm sure you've heard it from other people, there's a famous story that they say that the Rebbe Maharaj from Lubavitch, it once happened that his son, who was later on going to become the Rebbe Rashab, Rav Sholem Dov Ber, that the Rashab, when he was a little child, was playing with, I'm not sure if it was a brother or it was a friend, and the children were playing. They used to play, the game that they were playing was that one would be the Rebbe, the other would be a chassid. And it happens that they were having, that the oldest daughter of the Maharaj happened to be eavesdropping on this game that the younger brother was playing. And she heard that the discussion, the children were very small, the boys. She heard that the basic subject of the discussion was what real use does Hashem have for simple Jews? Jews are not scholars of Torah, but Jews are very, very simple and they're not able to study. So the question was, you know, what exactly are these people doing in the world? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create Jews that they should just pull wagons and deliver milk and so on? It was the tachlis. So the daughter heard this conversation, and she went to her father, to the Rebbe Maharaj, and she said, this is what I heard the boys talking about. So the Maharaj, Rebbe Shmuel from Lubavitch, he called the boys in, and he said to the boys, I want you to go to the barn and to get Ivan. Ivan, there was a fellow that was working there, a guy that worked the Rebbe's property. A guy. So they went and they brought him. And the man says, Rebbe, is there something that I could do for you? He says, I just want to talk to you a little bit, Ivan. And the boys were standing there. He says, So the Rebbe doesn't tell me, Ivan, what did you do today? So he said, Rebbe, I was working. I was working around the house. And why do you work? Why do I work? I have to earn a living. A person has to earn a living. And why do you have to earn a living? Well, if I don't have any money, then I won't be able to eat. And why do you need to eat? If I won't eat, I won't be able to live. And why do you need to live? Well, if I live, then I could have a few minutes of spare time in the week, and I can go with my friends, and we could drink a little bit and have a good time. And to raise the family, they should also be able to have a good time. The Rebbe said, "That's very good. That's very, very good." Okay. And the boys didn't know what's going on. And then the Rebbe, the Maharas, told them to go bring whatever. Some yid, there was a yid over there, a shamus, a very, very simple Jew, to bring him. And he comes running to the Rebbe. He says, "Rebbe, is everything okay? Can I do something?" He says, "I just want to ask you to talk to you a little bit. He says, tell me, what did you do today?" So I worked. "Why do you work?" "I work so I could make a living." "Why do you need to make a living?" "I won't be able to eat if I don't make a living." "And why do you need to eat? Why do you need to eat?" He says, "Rebbe, if I don't eat, I won't be able to live." "And why do you need to live?" So he closed his eyes. This simple yid, he says, "I need to live so I could serve the Baruch Shalom. I need to live so I could daven, so I could serve the Baruch Shalom." Sister Zaya, "Good, fine." He sent him away. So the Rebbe turned to the boys and said, "Listen, I heard you had a little conversation about what use does God have for simple Jews." He said, "You see, you want to play Rebbe and Chosid, but your problem is that you don't ask all the right questions. See, any Jew," the Rebbe said, if you get through all the questions, you get to the last question of why do you live, maybe now it wouldn't work so much on the street with a lot of Jews that don't remember anymore. But certainly in that time, when you get to that last question, why do you live? The answer has to be, I live to serve HaKadosh Baruch. That's the purpose of my life. I live because I'm a Jew and I'm a servant of Hashem." In the Beis HaMikdash, that was absolutely clear. It was the Beis HaMikdash was the place where you went right to the last question. You understand? The last question, that was it. There was, why are you alive? Why do you live? And when the person becomes an Eved of Hashem, it's that with that recognition that after all is said and done, the purpose of my life is to serve HaKadosh Baruch. The purpose of my life is to serve Hashem. And this brings us to the one of the deepest subjects of Torah, the subject that I can't say that we're just going to learn this Indian, because I hardly go a day without talking about it. As David HaMelech, it's not to study. We're not going to study Tanakh. David HaMelech is the deepest sugi in the whole Tanakh. Is David HaMelech the deepest subject in Tanakh? Is David HaMelech, and it's a Tanakh class. But we have to understand the koyach of David HaMelech, as it was taught us in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, to just barely, if we could touch the edge of his coat, of his robe, to understand what is David HaMelech. He's not just a person. David HaMelech is a certain koach that exists in the universe. David HaMelech is the embodiment of Malchus. And we know that David HaMelech is the same human being who is the embodiment of Malchus Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem in this world. That same human being referred to himself as a tefillah. Ani tefillah. I am davening. I am prayer. So in order to understand Malchus, in order to understand tefillah, davening, we have to take a little bit of a look into the world of David HaMelech as a little bit of it was revealed to us through the Tzaddikim. I want to begin, before we even start, with a specific subject as it relates to Malchus and to Tefillah. I want to share with you a paragraph from the teachings of the great Tzaddik Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, Rav Kook's greatest student. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap in the Mei Marim, he has a chapter that's entitled Nishmaso Shel David, the soul of David. David HaMelech mitzad bechinas haruach shabah hayim meshuchar lagamri minayet zahara. You know, there are different spiritual components of a person, which the first half of this year we spoke about all the time. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. David HaMelech, from the perspective of his Ruach, which is in the heart, David HaMelech was completely, completely freed from the Yetzirah. He was completely freed from the Yetzirah. He no longer had an evil inclination. As he himself said in the 109th chapter of Tehillim, V'libi chalal bekirbi, my heart is empty within me. And the simple meaning of that is, as understood by the Chacham and Rashi and so on, is that David HaMelech was saying that I have no evil inclination. My heart, my emotions, my longings are only for God. Ki mishkan haruach ubalev, the ruach is in the lev, in the heart, is manifested through the heart. Now, you know, there's another part of us that's more connected to our daily physical needs. Not the ruach. What part of us is connected to the daily physical, physiological needs? What part of it, what component of spirituality is that? What's that called? Nefesh. Nefesh. Ulo mitzad ha-nefesh ha-yinidrish lo'om ha-rav. As far as the nefesh is concerned, David HaMelech had a continuous struggle. In other words, he was able to see the different components of himself, the different spiritual parts of himself, and to say, Libi chalal bekirbi. My heart is completely emptied of all ra. My ruach, the spirit of impurity has been removed, and I am filled with the ruach of holiness. But as far as my nefesh is concerned, I'm having a hard time. And we see that throughout Tehillim. So David HaMelech says at the beginning of Tehillim, Rabim Aimim Lanafshi Ein Yeshua Salai Belokim Sela. That many people, when they speak about my nefesh, are saying that this man will have no salvation. And the meaning here is not that he has a bad reputation. It's not that people are giving him a bad reputation. People are saying things about him, he's no good, although that's also true. But we know that David HaMelech, when he says Rabim Aimim, David HaMelech was saying that Rabim Aimim Lanafshi Ein Yeshua Salai Belokim Sela, he's saying that within myself I am frightened by the negative stirrings of my nefesh. In other words, I know that in the deeper part that's called ruach, I am so pure. I know that I'm filled only with longing for you, and emotionally I am so connected to you. And yet, I know there are those who are saying that my nefesh is completely distant from you, can't be saved. And when he says many are saying that, he means within himself. So where do you see this split? I don't want to say personality then. Where do you see this conflict in David HaMelech? So it's a famous chazal. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Chashavti daki v'shiva ragli al desecha. That means that I considered my paths and my feet returned me to your place of study. I considered my paths. I considered my way. I was thinking about my way, and my feet took me to your place of study. That's what David HaMelech said. So Chazal say in the Medrash, Oma Dabal Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbani Shaloylam. David HaMelech said, Hashem, Bechol Yoyim Ve'yoyim Ha'isi Mechashe Ve'oymer L'mokim Ploini Ani Ha'ilach L'bez Diris Ploini Ani Ha'ilach. Each day when I would get up, I would think to myself that I'm going to go to this place and that place. And the implication is that he was thinking of going to places where he shouldn't go. Places that were not proper for him to go to. And he said, each day I thought I was going to go to these places. And then somehow my feet took me to the shul and to the mismatch. I don't know, I thought I was going to that place that I shouldn't. Whatever that means. I had in mind to go to the wrong place. And I ended up in mismatch. I ended up in yeshiva. I ended up in shul. Of course he prayed that he should always want to be and he should always be in the place in the house of Hashem. But he's saying that I know that intellect, I know that there was one part of me that wanted to go someplace where I shouldn't go. And then Baruch Hashem, it ended up okay. I ended up in shul. I ended up in yeshiva.
Is that what you mean? You say speaking this out loud, no matter...
Oh, so let's see. So Rabbi Yaakov is going to explain. So he says, "Ki mitzad ha-nefesh ha-yinimshach lachshav machshavas acheres." The nefesh that's most connected to this world The nefesh was drawing him to things that didn't befit him. Mitzad the nefesh, he was pulled to things. That's what he meant when he was saying, I think about going to this place and that place. I'm thinking about it. I'm considering. I wake up, I think that's where I'm going to go. That's Mitzad the nefesh, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe explains. Ulam haruach shabo, hu oro shel Mashiach, but the ruach that was within him, the spirit that was within him, Mitzad haruach, and the donach was very powerful because he has the ruach ha-pein l'Mashiach Hashem within him. Within him is shining the light of Mashiach Tzidkeinu. The ruach of Mashiach Hashem is shining within David HaMelech. So mitzad the ruach that's within me, his gabra b'kibra v'ha-yiragla of mevi'as ha-yisrael about the knesses about the midrashes. Now with your eye, we also have the soul of Mashiach within us. Every Jew has. Every Jew has. So your eye, the soul of Mashiach, which is trapped in the complicated world of the nefesh, so the soul of Mashiach might cause us to feel regret or remorse, might cause us to feel torn, but the ruach of David HaMelech is so powerful that it literally, like the word ruach also means a wind, that it literally carries him like a wind that carries him to the Beis Medrash. That no matter what his nefesh, in other words, his nefesh was pulling him one way, but he says, but I end up in the Beis Medrash. So Yaakov Moshe says, Hador hazeh, dor demalka Mashiach. Our generation is the generation of Melech HaMashiach. It's the generation right before Mashiach, is that we're going to see Mashiach. So therefore, in our generation, we see an amazing thing. We see Jews nowadays. Then as far as where their nefesh is actually taking them. You see, Domino's ruach was so strong it held them back from doing anything wrong, Lamaisa. But our generation, which is the generation before Mashiach, our generation, mitzad the nefesh, from the perspective of nefesh, the generation is very sinful. And there are people who are doing the wrong thing, thinking the wrong thoughts, saying the wrong words, and going to the wrong places, mamish, going to the wrong places. But as far as the ruach emotionally, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says in the way of his Rebbe Rav Kook, that our generation is filled with a longing for things emotionally on the deepest level, for things that are great, for things that are better. And Rav Kook always insisted that the idealism of our times, when he was writing in the beginning of the century, the idealism, it was what was that force within the Jewish people, even Jews who were completely non-religious? Jews who made fun of Yiddishkeit. Jews who swore never to look into a safe for the rest of their lives. What was it that was compelling them to return to Eretz Yisrael? Even though Rav Kook himself said that their ideology, that the secular idea of Zionism is completely impure and comes from the side of evil. And Rav Kook, contrary to what people might believe, was a violent opponent to secular Zionism. Violent opponent to secular Zionism. Nevertheless, Rav Kook said, what is it that's carrying people who hate Yiddishkeit to Eretz Yisrael? So to say that it's just nationalism, like there were certain tzaddikim that said that this is just an imitation of secular nationalism. Rav Kook felt it wasn't enough to answer the kasha. The insistent longing of the Jewish people for thousands of years, continuing even nowadays with people who are prepared to die in such a way. Although you will find examples of this, you'll say, listen, Japanese were flying their planes into enemy territory, you know, the kamikazes, and Germans were prepared to die for the motherland. But you have to understand that the definition of a German was his nationality, and the definition of a Japanese person was his nationality. But why would some Yid from Russia, why would some Yid from Poland, who couldn't care less about Yiddishkeit, why should that person be drawn by a chain that is completely unexplainable to the land of his forefathers and his mothers, a place that means nothing to the Jewish people at all, unless you believe in the Torah? So Yaakov Moshe is saying that the generation, as far as its nefesh is concerned, is very unworthy. It's filled with all kinds of darker things and conflicts and so on. But the ruach of the generation The ruach of the generation is idealistic. The ruach of the generation, like we saw that even right now, it's hard to see sometimes. These last days before Mashiach are so unbelievably dark. But I know that growing up here in America, you know, during the 60s and 70s, maybe there are a couple of you that remember the 50s over here, but the 60s and 70s, which I remember very well, you know, there was an idealism. You don't see it so much anymore, but there was an idealism. You know, we were, I say we, for the most part, I don't think there was a person that I knew that wasn't, I mean, a kid, when we were in high school, that like wasn't crazy about some cause, whether it be Russian Jewry or the Syrian Jews or, you know, even Vietnam or whatever it was. But there was a certain days in the growing up, the ideology is the self. And the most idealistic, the more idealistic the person, the more of an idea the person has about, you know, what kind of a car to own or what kind of a house to live in. Baruch Hashem, among yeshiva students, there's an idealism that we can salvage. When you go to Eretz Yisrael and you see, even though I'm not referring to the hashkafas, I mean, my personal hashkafas in many areas are very different from the hashkafas of the students and the grand students of Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Nevertheless, if you go to the Hesder yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, you see these guys, you see these women. They're so idealistic. They have so much spirit. They have so much ruach in them. They're such an inspiration. These people that go out to these yeshuvim and that they're mitnachlim. They're amazing people. They're amazing people. People in Kiryat Arba, no? Like here, we could krechz about, you know, we're not sure about the hechsher on this store. We're upset because, you know, we have to go to Borough Park to find a dress without a slit, you know? Like these are our causes over here. You know, we have Eretz Yisrael. It's just all on fire. The ruach of Mashiach is so. The ruach of Mashiach is pounding away in Eretz Yisrael. The ruach of Mashiach is so powerful. Even among those who are not religious, everybody is opinionated in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the Israelis, even though they're not religious, they have what to say. Over here, there's an overall apathy. I got my house someplace. I said, that's good. Finish it. Life is alright. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard to find anybody that's apathetic. Everybody is like a prime minister in training. Every single Jew, it should be well. In Eretz Yisrael, is a prime minister in training. Everyone should be the general, the chief of staff. Everybody should be the secretary of defense. Anybody that's been to Eretz Yisrael knows this is an extraordinary thing. It's an extraordinary thing. The problem is when these Yidden, when they leave Eretz Yisrael, they're not sure what to do with this ruach. They're not sure what to do with this. So sometimes when they leave Eretz Yisrael, the Israelis begin to find the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You know that. There's a massive tshuva movement among Israelis outside of Eretz Yisrael. France and America and other places where Israelis are reconsidering because they come to America, they leave Eretz Yisrael. So there they're screaming about the army, and they're screaming about the government, and they have a million things and causes, and they're yelling, and they come over, what are they supposed to do? I mean, so then they realize that there's something, that the ruach comes from a certain place. It's not just coming from a place of politics or history. So our generation is a generation that on the one hand has a nefesh that is drawing us into all kinds of crazy things. But the ruach is so sweet. There's a ruach that's very powerful. There's the spirit, the wind of idealism, of Yiddishkeit that is very, very deep. So Rav Yaakov Moshe is saying a prediction that you will see that even though these Jews, when they wake up in the morning, in other words, when they were planning on living their lives, they thought they're going to this place and that place, you're going to see they're going to end up also in yeshiva one day. Like many Israelis that I talk to, I have a relative of mine that's a Baal Tshuva, completely non-religious. Completely non-religious. My mother has a sister in Eretz Yisrael. They grew up a very large family back in Munkach. If you know anything about Munkach, if anybody opened up this door in Munkach on Shabbos, Sunday morning it was burned to the ground. You would find it burned to the ground. There was no Chil Shabbos. You know, you have to be very careful in Munkach. So, but my mother's sister, after the war, she went through what she went through, and she became completely against Yiddishkeit. Not just that she's not religious, she's against it. And then my mother and her, they love each other very much, and religion is not the subject that they don't talk about religion, and it's... I was the only one. Whenever I was there, I used to make trouble with these things. So, lo and behold, the daughter recently, she's married, they have 3 children. So, the son is starting to put on tefillin, the husband's starting to put on tefillin, and she went to a couple of seminars. She went to Bnei Brak, she became friends with the Rebbetzin. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. When she got up in her life, she never ever thought she was going to end up in that place. Her nefesh was taking her into all the wrong places. So Rav Yaakov Moshe says, but you're going to see that the ruach of our generations are going to take our children also, Mitzvah, to the right place. So if you are glaim and vizay son labat ikness labat medrashes or hater you feel like bimloy zahar of yegiu ala tikna shalom vi yesoid ha avoid the bach with sayamim so ich les pekel galas is nishma sag dos dor magel with shalom. Therefore, as we approach the end of time, the last days before Mashiach, it is absolutely essential that the Jewish people, those of us who are loyal to Torah, that we spend a great deal of time trying to study the life of David HaMelech, to study the ways of David HaMelech. Al kol b'chinoseo madrigoseo, and it says b'feirish in the pasuk in Hosea. The Navi said, uvikshu es Hashem elokeyim es David Malka. That at the end of time, the Jewish people are going to begin to seek God and David HaMelech. So the simple meaning of that is we're going to begin to look for God and begin to long for Mashiach. Mashiach ben David, the son of David. But Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is interpreting on a deeper level. That as we get close to Mashiach, there's going to be more of an interest in David HaMelech. And it's true. There's going to be a fascination with David HaMelech. Because our generation before Mashiach is the generation that is most similar to David. That person who, from the side of his nefesh, was determined to do something that was wrong on his level, not David, but on his level, something that didn't become him. But mitzad de ruach was brought back to holiness. Our generation before Mashiach is seeking to understand the soul of David HaMelech, because we too find ourselves acting in the wrong way, but within us being drawn towards holiness, within us drawn towards things that are... I mean, you go to Jewish... I had to be in the hospital last week. And in a hospital on the island somewhere. And it was like, the whole place was so excited. They had a guy with a beard and face. Like, they couldn't do enough, I'm telling you. The non-Jews also were very nice. But the Yidden that were there, it's unbelievable. I was so touched by the whole thing. First of all, everyone wanted, it was Friday, so everyone wanted to show me that they know how to say good Shabbos. So everybody there, I didn't ask them, you're Jewish, you're not Jewish. People over there, nurses and doctors, they said to me, oh, it's going to be Shabbos in a few hours. Don't worry, you'll be home on time for Shabbos. They were having such an unbelievable hana, pleasure, to see a person that has the tzura of a Jew. It was a remarkable thing. And I got into conversations mamish with 10-15 people. With 10-15 people, there's one person I went to. It turns out I was born in Russia, and not far from where my father, Russia, used to be Hungary. The Russians took it now, after the war. And they were going to try to have her over. I mean, there's such an excitement about Yiddishkeit. They want so much to be connected to Yiddishkeit. Not to the halachas. They don't want them. You tell them, oh, you're Shabbos, so, you want to keep Shabbos? No. But the ruach is strong. There's a strong ruach in the world. There's a strong ruach. It's not with the anger. It's not with the apathy. There's a ruach. There's a ruach. And even with those who look angry, it's not an anger against the world. It's different. There's a ruach, Hashem. So we have to try... Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says to come to connect more to David HaMelech. When Vichus Hashem Elokeim is David Malkam. Elokeim Utelas Achayv Al Gedoyle Vitzadiki Hadorlis Amek Harbei B'Shorash Shal David. Therefore, it's the responsibility of the leaders of the generation of the Tzadikim to deepen their understanding and to teach all Jews about the way of David HaMelech. That they should understand that a person can have things in him pulling him to the wrong place, but he can still overcome these things and end up in the Beis Medrash. And that a Jew could believe in himself that it's possible that ruach, that voice within him, is telling him the truth about himself in the deepest way. And by the tzaddikim talking to the children, to the generation about David HaMelech, they will draw sparks from the soul of David HaMelech upon all those who listen. And they'll excite the generation with the personality and the way of David HaMelech. Until the great, awesome light of redemption will be completely revealed. And David HaMelech will come, will return. So this fascination with David HaMelech especially, I believe personally that you see especially in the writings of the Baal Shem Tov and his students that they're very preoccupied with David HaMelech. Very preoccupied. The tzaddikim. Rabbi Nachum Breslov has said about himself that he was a descendant of David HaMelech. So Rabbi Nachum Breslov has said that the descendants of David HaMelech have a tendency to be melancholy. He was once explaining why, even though, you know, Rabbi Nachman's big battle cry was simcha, was joy. And he insisted that all of his chassidim be always joyous. So once they detected him, and that he himself looked a little bit, not sad, chalila, but a little bit less than joyous. So he said that, you know, among the descendants of David HaMelech, we sometimes tend to be a little bit melancholy. That's what he said. And you see in his svarim, Bechlal, in the svarim of all the tzaddikim, and Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, since those who believe in the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and the students know that one of the fundamental principles of Chassidus is that the Baal Shem Tov was sent before Mashiach comes, and that the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov are Mamish Torahs and Mashiach. As we know from the famous Aliyas Neshama, that before the Baal Shem Tov died, the Rosh Hashanah before he died, his soul, he had an ascent of the soul, whatever that means, and he met Melech HaMashiach in Shemayim, that the Baal Shem Tov met Mashiach, and he asked him, Emosai Kosi Mar, when are you going to come to the world? And the Baal Shem Tov was told by the Mashiach, L'chshei Yafutsu Ma'ayinu Secha Chutsu, when the wellsprings of your teachings will go forth into the world. Because we believe, when I say we, I'm not speaking on behalf of all the Jews and all the yeshivas, what I'm saying now would be the object of ridicule of many of them. And that's okay. It doesn't bother me at all. Because I believe, and some other people believe, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was Yir V'Kadosh when Shmaya Kanachas was sent into our lives to bring back the way of David HaMelech, to strengthen the way of David HaMelech in our lives, and to prepare us for the coming of Mashiach. It's known that in the Gemara Sanhedrin there was a disagreement between the Amoraim for whose sake was the world created. So Rav says that the world was created for the sake of David HaMelech. And Shmuel says, no, that you could find one person for whose sake it was worth creating the world. So Rav says it would be David HaMelech. Shmuel said it would be Moshe Rabbeinu. And we understand that this disagreement between the two is a disagreement that's been going on for years and years. But Rav said the world was created for David HaMelech. Rashi says, because the way of David HaMelech is the way of singing, the way of praising. Now, it doesn't mean that David HaMelech wasn't an extraordinary Talmud Chacham. You see in the Gemara that he was a great posek, he was a great master of halacha and Torah. But when we think of David HaMelech, none of us think of David HaMelech sitting still, right? We think of David HaMelech, as Rav said. Rashi explains that he was going to sing songs of praise to Hashem. So Rav is saying that, of course, the Torah is so exalted and so great. But the creation of the world is for the sake of tefillah, of davening, of shira, of song. Where Shmuel said that the world was created for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi says, "She'asa l'kabel ha'Torah." Moshe Rabbeinu is going to receive the Torah. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu sang also. Moshe Rabbeinu was in love with Hashem, and everything else was emotional about Hashem. But the essential quality, the defining quality of Moshe Rabbeinu was the intellect, was Torah. So there's a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel, and in their lives they were also very different. Rav composed many tefillas. A lot of the davening comes from Rav. The tefillah for Rosh Chodesh comes from Rav. Rav was lovesick with Hashem, and he was always composing tefillahs. There are many agaditas, many non-halachic parts of the Gemara come from Rav. Whereas Shmuel was a great mathematician and astronomer. We have hardly any non-halachic statements from Shmuel. Shmuel said that the streets of the heavens are known to me like the streets of Nahardei of my town. He was a mathematician and astronomer. So Rav says the world's created from David Melech. Shmuel says the world's created from Moshe Rabbeinu. And this argument, this disagreement, what is the primary way of serving God through the heart or through the mind, is the same argument between Chassidus, between the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his students, and the Vilna Gaon and his students. And throughout history there have been different schools. The Rambam, of course. What school was the Rambam? What school is the Rambam belonging to? Rav Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi? David HaMelech. Rav. Wait, we're not finished with the Gemara. So, this was going on, and then you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Churban, he had the choice to establish one place, and he asked for the Yavne, for the Yeshiva. And Rabbi Akiva was upset. Rabbi Akiva said, Das Chum, even the wisest man can make a mistake. He should have asked for the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is Tefillah, Zavoda. It's the same argument. It's taking place in every generation. It's between Yeshayahu HaNavi and Chizkiyahu the king. And so there, this is a disagreement that's been going on for a long time. So what's the conclusion of the Gemara? The conclusion of the Gemara is that the world was not created for David HaMelech and not created for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was created for Mashiach. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. It was created for Mashiach. And we understand on our level that the meaning of that is that Mashiach means a balance between these two worlds, right? The fusion of those two worlds. The merging of the heart of David and the mind of Moshe. Of the Avod of the Baal Shem Tov and the learning of the Vilna Gaon. That's the Tachlis. That's what's going to be. And one won't take away from the other. One won't take away from the other. And there won't be any more of this conflict, this contradiction. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is Teres HaMashiach because Sof Kol Sof, Mashiach is Mashiach Ben David. Therefore, we understand that even though Mashiach is a fusion of these two powers, but it's tilted towards Tefillah. And this is what we've learned. It's tilted towards, look, Sof Kol Sof. Even though we know it has the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, I spoke about that a little bit, that's Mashiach ben Moshe, that's such an Indian, and Mashiach, the first two letters is Mashiach is Memshin, Mashahayu, Hushayiyya. Moshe Rabbeinu is also involved in the redemption. He's called the first redeemer, he'll be the last redeemer. But Mashiach ben David, the generation is filled with the soul of Mashiach ben David. Therefore, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his students, more than any other tzaddikim, are telling the story of David HaMelech to the world, are talking about David HaMelech. Teaching about David HaMelech. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap is saying that that's the meaning of Ovikshus Hashem Elokeim as David Malka. That we're going to need to feel more connected to David. Because our generation in this way is similar, because we too on the one hand are drawn towards things that are not proper, but in the Ruach of in the Ruach aspect of who we are, we feel lifted and we feel drawn towards the way of Kedusha, of holiness. So Mitzvah Shem, next week, it's really late, next week, Mach Tisha B'Av, we'll begin with the Inyan of David HaMelech and Malchus and Tefillah. And so this week was just by way of introduction.